Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him, and all the region along with the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to ask that you pray for me as I offer this prayer of illumination for us. Oh Lord, we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and in the longings of our hearts, by the words of my lips and the thoughts that we form. We ask, Lord, that you speak to us, for your servants listen. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and open our hearts and our minds to what you would have to say to us today. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. Let there be less of me and more of you in this moment, O Lord. Come, Lord, come. Speak to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Today in our scripture lessons, we have another wake-up call before Christmas. Now, the passages for today are supposed to make you sit up and take notice. One from today, from Isaiah, that I haven't read yet, should really make you sit up and take notice. And that, we know Isaiah is a prophet who didn't pull any punches. As one commentator said, he didn't pull any nudges. He was always trying to nudge his people back to the ways of God. He tried to nudge them back into line. And that scripture comes from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. And this morning I want to read it to you from Eugene Peterson's The Message. I think it's a good translation. A green shoot will sprout from Jesse's stump, from his roots a budding branch. The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him, the Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding, the Spirit that gives direction and builds strength, the Spirit that installs knowledge and fear of God. Fear of God will be his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearances, won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He'll judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to a wed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. The wolf shall romp with the lamb, the leopard sleep with the kid. The calf and the lion will eat from the same trough, and a little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze in the same pasture. Their calves and cubs grow up together, and the lion eats straw like the ox. The nursing child will crawl over rattlesnake dens. The toddler will stick his hand down the hole of a serpent. Neither animal or human will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God alive, a living knowledge of God, ocean deep, ocean wide. On that day, Jesse's root will be raised high, posted as a rallying banner for the peoples. The nations will come to him. His headquarters will be glorious. We believe that Isaiah is speaking, or we think as Christians that this is Jesus he's talking about. And I believe that. Who we know as the Messiah. And he paints a beautiful picture of what his kingdom will be when it's fully realized. All of the passages for today are ones I believe that we need to hear before Christmas. Granted, we don't see many postcards with the prophet. We see some with this passage from Isaiah, but we don't see many with John the Baptist, do we? But they both build an expectation of God's coming to us. The Bible, especially in the book of Isaiah, promises us peace. But we still wonder when this peace will be realized. Even though we find ourselves in a wonderful giving spirit this time of the year, we still see violence and discord and division in our world. We even see division in our own church, the general church, the Methodist church. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, addresses division in churches. And I think we would do well to listen to what Paul says, what he tells the Romans. Now, there may be some amongst us who are suffering. And for them, it's difficult to celebrate Christ's birth or God's coming to us or getting into the spirit of Christmas. It's especially, I know, at this time of the year for those who have lost loved ones. They may feel very little peace in their life as they think about their loved ones. Gregory Tolle tells us, one must remember that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it means wholeness or well-being. And in Wishful Thinking, Seekers ABC, Frederick Buchner defines shalom as having everything you need to be wholly and happily yourself. Sometimes in life we have trouble realizing this wholeness and happiness. To experience this peace, as we prepare for the coming of the Prince of Peace, it's important for us to love one another, as Paul tells the Romans. When we have peace, we realize that we have love. Our God loves us. It is then that we lay down swords or spears and beanie babies and Hot Wheels. End of quote. And we are invited to participate in this peace. We need especially to love those who are missing loved ones. And we must ask ourselves if we are, as John calls us to, bearing fruit worthy of repentance. Have we actually confessed our sins and repented, turned back to God and God's ways? This call from John the Baptist is a call to a new life. Yes, it's a call to new life. Now you may be wondering what the passage of John the Baptist has to do with peace. Well, to have this peace, we must enter into the kingdom of heaven. John, in telling us to repent, is telling us that we must prepare ourselves to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's not just some distant time in the kingdom of heaven, but it's entering and preparing ourselves to enter the kingdom of heaven now. To prepare ourselves, we must repent. We must turn around to God and to God's ways, and we must turn away from the ways of the world to enter into the kingdom of God. The Common English Bible translates repent as change your hearts and your lives. And I think that's what we need to do. I don't know if this really carries the full meaning of what John the Baptist was getting at. John was trying to get the attention of the people of his time, and we need to pay attention to John as well. One commentator said that when we read a biblical, that is a quotation from the Old Testament in Matthew's version of the gospel, it is that his way of trying to get our attention, that we should pay attention to what he is saying. We need to turn every day to God and to prepare ourselves for the advent of God in our life, for God's coming to us, so that we can have this peace that is promised and the strength to hold on no matter what life throws at us. And the only way that we can hold on in this life is with God's presence with us. We must keep Jesus Christ at the center of everything, at the center of our lives. Jesus should be and must be our main focus for us to enter the kingdom of heaven and to receive this peace. We can receive this when we bear fruits worthy of repentance. And this is the new life that we are called to. We are called to change our hearts and lives and allow God to transform us through Jesus Christ. And we must also be like John the Baptist and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, we must repent and turn back to God to change our hearts and lives. Eugene Peterson, in his message, he portrays John the Baptist as a stagehand who is shining the spotlight on Jesus, as Jesus is the main character. The stagehand shines this spotlight on Jesus and he helps to set the stage. So I asked the question this morning, how are we going to set the stage to shine the spotlight on Jesus during this season of Advent and into the season of Christmas? How do we keep Jesus the main character in Christmas? The more we focus on Jesus, the more peace we will find. And reordering our lives with that focus in preparation for Christmas and the coming years should include intention for those things that make us both receivers of and givers of peace. And we may ask, how are we to do this? Well, we are called to be a way preparer. In the words of Tony Johnson from an Advent blog a few years ago, we are called to be way preparers, much like John the Baptist was a way preparer. He went on to say John the Baptist was a way preparer. And notice I did not say he was the way preparer. There have been many others. In fact, there have been thousands. No, there have been millions of way preparers throughout the history of time. Every time someone loves a neighbor, every time someone feeds the hungry, every time someone clothes the hungry or clothes the homeless, every time we invite the unchurched to church, every time we share our journey with Christ, every time you offer the love and grace of Christ to others, every time you reach out to the lost and offer them salvation through Christ, you are a way preparer. End of quote. Will you be a way preparer? One who's sharing Christ with others during this Advent season so that we and those around us and those in our community can experience the peace of Christ? To do so, we must accept the new life that Christ offers to us, that he has prepared for us through his suffering and death and resurrection and ascension to the Lord. And we, you, and each of us can have the life because Christ comes to us all where we are. The good news is that God does not leave us where we are, but he gives us this new life that we can live into. God is always, through Christ and the John the Baptists of the world, the way preparers, calling us to move forward to a bigger, bolder stand for Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a couple ways to be a way preparer during this time of year. One is whenever you greet someone, especially when you come into worship, greet them. May the peace of Christ be with you. Or share a greeting of love with them. And I know this is part of the tradition of passing the peace, which we don't have in our service anymore, but maybe it's time for it to come back.
Amen.
But it's important for us to tell others that we love them and that God loves them, and to greet others with expressions of God's love. And I said I had another one, and that is to invite persons to church. I've known for years, you probably know this too, the experts continue to tell us that the personal invitation is the best way to get people to come to church, to come to worship. I encourage you and challenge you to invite people to our special services. I think our Advent services each Sunday are very special. I know the choir music, I know it is, and y'all respond to it as well, is very special. But most especially, we have a Christmas Eve service, a very special Christmas Eve service that tells, again, the story of God coming to us. It tells us of the light coming into the world to dispel darkness. And that's why I like the Christmas Eve service, for that reason. And I encourage you to share that with whoever you invite. Tell them why you think it's a special service. And if it's not a tradition for you, I encourage you to come and make that a tradition, your Christmas tradition for yourselves and your family. And the other, a lot of us have a tool that we can use. There's many of us that are on social media, and you can share that invitation. Personal invitation is the best, but you can share that invitation on social media as well. And in the next day or so, I'll be making an event of the Christmas Eve service that you may be able to, could share, and you can share with that why you like this service and why it's important for you and or your family. We are called by Paul to welcome others as God has welcomed us, and that's a way to be a way preparer. Do you hear God calling you? Thanks be to our loving and ever-present God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Think about all of these things as you prepare your hearts and minds for Holy Communion. Christ as Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things. The rich you send empty away. Your Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will, freely and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice with you in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ, for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Get up to Brenda and Mac first. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is for you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Help us to live into the new life that you call us to. Help us every day to repent and turn back to you and live in light with lives worthy of repentance. And I pray this in Jesus Christ, our Lord's name, who prepared this for us. Amen. Invite you at this time to stand and sing together our hymn of invitation. There's a song in the air, number 249 in the hymnal. It's also on the screen. Go forth in peace and serve. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.